Time now for our second feature. This is about letters sent home from the trenches during the First World War, and is again read by Robin Quine.
So many soldiers return from bloody battlefields across the world and rarely speak about what happened to them and their comrades. Their nightmare memories continued to haunt them, but they were often too painful to share them with family or friends. One such man was Ray Pud Randall from Cromer, who went to hell and back in the First World War trenches. He was described as a happy-go-lucky chap who helped to run the family electrical business in the town. He was born in 1895 and died in 1977. Always laughing and joking, younger members of the family never realised how and where he had served his country in the war, until, many years later, a suitcase was discovered under a bed. Inside were dozens of letters Ray had written to his brother Hal, family and friends during the 1914-18 war, from the front line and hospitals. It was back in 2008 when they were first published in a brilliant and large book, Dear Hal, Yours Pud, compiled and edited by his nephew, retired teacher Theo Stibbins. As time moves on, they become more important as a look at life and death in the trenches. Not from historians, but from someone who was actually there. Raymond Edward Ralph Randall was known to his close family as Pud, after the character Pudlow Sucks a Thumb. He was the youngest son of Robert and Clara Randall of Cromer. His brothers Wilfred, Theodore, Reginald and Harold all served in the First World War. Pud enlisted in the 8th Norfolks at Norwich in September 14. The Norfolks were full, so he was transferred to help form the 10th Essex Regiment. They were trained at Colchester before heading to France. Then the letters started arriving. July the 15th, 1915. I am somewhere in France, but am not at liberty to give you any details. I am getting quite fat on dog biscuits and bully beef. August the 15th, 1915. We have just got a machine for throwing bombs to be used in the trenches, and it will throw them about 250 yards and kill everyone in the traverse. August the 26th, 1915. I haven't been troubled by insects, but there are plenty of rats in the trenches. While I am writing this, the guns are banging away and a few shells come over now and again. September the 18th, 1915. The First Norfolks relieved us out of the trenches, or what was left of them. The snipers out here use explosive bullets, and they don't half make a gash if they hit you. I've seen the Germans fire as many as 70 shells at one British plane and not bring it down. November the 20th, 1915. I've been bombing ever since I came into the trenches and have stood ankle deep in water with a box of bombs by my side and my heart in my boots. You ought to see me now, covered from head to toe in thick mud. February the 1st, 1916. On January the 31st, the Germans gave us a terrific strafing and our colonel was killed. The worst part of the business is that while the bombardment was on, the Germans sent a party across and pinched some of our men. They must have put over 3,000 shells. I think this was the hottest hour I've ever been through. It's a marvel how we came through without a scratch. March the 4th, 1916. Those blighters at the War Office have stopped our leave again. I expect they've got the wind up. We were out on patrol the other night and we found a German helmet, but there happened to be a head inside it. April the 22nd, 1916. I'm sorry to say one of my chums was killed by a shell yesterday. It makes you realise the rottenness of war when someone is bowled over you have been pals with for such a long time. A flea-ridden Pud came home on leave in May, but soon returned to the front line and survived the advance on the Somme. July the 14th, 1916. I am still alive and kicking, going through hell itself. July the 6th, 1916. I was carrying two boxes of bombs and my rifle was slung over my shoulder when about 20 Germans came round the corner of a trench and directly they spotted me, all put their hands up and yelled, "Comrade, comrade." One of them gave me a flash lamp and another a cigar, so I couldn't shoot them. They were so panic-stricken they had no fight left. July the 19th, 1916. Up the line again to Delville Wood and made an attack on it. Wounded in the right leg. The bland statement gives no idea of the bitterness and horror of the fierce fighting in that wood, which decimated the 10th Essex Regiment. Neither does it convey the long and painful struggle Pud had in coping with a serious leg injury for the rest of his life. For him, the war was over. He eventually came back to hospital in Norwich and then returned to Cromer in 1918. Only his close family knew the wound had to be continually redressed until the day he died in 1977. This is just a very small sample of the letters discovered in the suitcase. Ray didn't speak of his time at war, and they were only discovered after he and brother Harold had died.